Who cares about your team winning the Super Bowl when your team could win the offseason? My name is Danny Heifetz, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Ben Solak, and Craig Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, the draft, obviously. We cover quarterbacks, and there are a lot of good quarterbacks this year. And the teams at the top of the draft, Washington, New England, Chicago, big teams with big histories. Listen to the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
It's the Ringer's Philly Special presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Philly is a tough city. You know, they're gonna tell you why it is, and you know, I love it. I like Philadelphia because they care.
Welcome to the Ringers Philly Special. Sheil Kapadia here with Ben Solak. We told you we weren't sure if we were gonna do another pod this week. And then the Eagles go out and get the linebacker that Solak was waiting for, Devin White, just the guy he wanted, the guy he targeted, the guy he said they should go after from day one. It's a reported one-year deal up to $7.5 million, which always means it's not $7.5 million. We'll find out what it really is down the line. 26 years old, 75 starts in five seasons, started 13 games last year, former number five overall pick. And Ben, I saw Solak tweeting last night, and then I started messaging him, and he said, I'm out to dinner. And I thought, why are you tweeting when you're out to dinner at a restaurant? But I guess you were just that fired up. What was going on there? Why are we tweeting at dinner?
Well, because I saw it and I was upset. And so that's the whole story there. Here's the thing. It'd be one thing if it was like, oh, Zach Cunningham, like whatever, like I don't think it's a good deal. Devin White has been a frustrating player for me since I came out of LSU. So there's a personal nature to it. And I felt bad about it afterwards. I was like, there was no need for that. I could have just enjoyed a lovely dinner and been calm about Devin White. But instead, I'll be honest, at 12:30 a.m. last night, I was watching Devin White film, just furious, just very upset. That's the headspace I'm bringing into this right now.
So White started every game the previous... he didn't start every game last season because it was benched last season at one
Correct.
Point for a player named KJ Britt. And if you look at this offseason, the Bucs brought back like a lot of players. I mean, they really tried to keep that group intact. Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans on offense, on defense, Levante David. If they wanted Devin White back on the football team at this price, they would have brought Devin White back on the football team. And they did not do that. And so you got to look at it from that perspective. Like Jets fans, I was thinking about this. Like Jets fans were upset that their team no longer has Bryce Hoff. They were like, oh, Bryce Hoff was awesome last year. We liked Bryce Hoff a lot. Now he's on the Eagles. That sucks. I don't think Bucs fans really feel the same way. I mean, your frustrations are shared by Todd Bowles, by a lot of Bucs fans, by a lot of people who watch football. So let me give you the floor. Like, why do you... You know, why has he been a frustrating player for you? What do you think he brings to the table for the Eagles? And are you surprised that they made this move?
Yeah, so a lot of the Devin White like frustration was like he was going to be a top 15, top 20 pick. And like, I don't think that he was worth that. And then the Buccaneers had their Super Bowl run, and after the Super Bowl run, there was like there was a big like Devin White's one of the best linebackers in the league. Devin White is the best linebacker in the league. That just like he wasn't the best linebacker on the team. Like it was Lavonte David. It was just the sort of stuff where it's like, if you're watching film, like this just does not like track at all. In the midst of all of my Devin White frustration, I had this tweet from 2022, which is I said Devin White is a solid skill set for Bulls' defense because of the range and the blitzing ability. But the top tier linebacker talk after the Super Bowl season was such a disservice to him. Obviously a tough night. I think it was like a primetime game he was getting picked on. But he is this season what he's always been, useful but limited player, right? Devin White's big and fast. And so when you deploy big and fast, right, say, hey, go shoot a gap. Hey, go blitz the quarterback, right? Like there's a way that big and fast is useful. You're not a lot of guys, Devin White's size, move at Devin White's speed. And so like there's absolutely utility to Devin White. There's more utility in the Todd Bowles defense where the linebacker gets deployed like a missile a lot more often than the Vic Fangio defense where he's got to like play two gaps and kind of like think on his feet and win against contact. So that I don't think Devin White is as good at. But so like a really high expectation was set for him because of some of the national narratives that I think led to like a big fracturing with him with the Tampa Bay faithful. Like he would get online and like, you know, get in arguments with Bucks fans about stuff. I think it also kind of affected the way that he thought about his game and the way that he approached his game. And I think some of that led to the benching, right? There was a narrative that he quit on the team and his injury was a bigger deal. And he was kind of in the media trying to say like, you know, I wasn't benched. It was just my injury. And like the coaches weren't clear about it. And so like, there was just a lot kind of going on because of the expectations. Now he can come in Philadelphia and hey, maybe it's better, right? Maybe it's less of no expectations and it's a lot lighter here and like whatever. But he's linebacker one in Philadelphia. Like, I don't think that's actually going to happen. And I don't think his skill set lends itself to this defense. I think that, you know, you and I talked about whether or not Devin White was like an Eagles sort of name, was like a Howie sort of name. And I said, dude, like, he's not the right skill set for the defense, but it absolutely feels like Howie's going to go grab the guy. He's an enormous name, good measurables, highly drafted. Like, this felt like a Howie dude. And of course, it ends up being a Howie dude. And I struggle to find the worlds in which this goes well for the Eagles.
That's the most interesting aspect of this to me. And we'll talk more about Devin White, the player and what he does well, what he doesn't do well, how he might fit. But the Fangio-Howie Roseman like relationship is just on my radar because when you bring in a defensive coordinator who has the gravitas of Vic Fangio, and when you hear some of the stuff we heard about Miami and maybe he didn't get had the personnel say that he wanted, I was very curious, how's this going to work? And Howie Roseman was asked about it at the combine and he made a joke. You know, someone said, does Vic Fangio have like big personnel say on the defense? And he said, like, oh, I'm sure he would like to think that. And then, you know, started laughing there. And I was like, okay, all right. What is actually happening here? Because that was the first thing I thought of. So like we cannot get inside Vic Fangio's head. Okay. Maybe he sees something in Devin White and he says, I'm going to be able to get something out of him that the Bucks were not able to. It doesn't feel like the type of player Vic Fangio would have circled and say, get me this linebacker for my scheme. It actually seems quite the opposite, which to your credit, you laid out in a previous pod that, yeah, okay, if you're a GM or a front office and you say, hey, this guy, former top five overall pick, athletic, has played a lot of football. We don't want to spend a lot of money coming off a down year. We're getting him for not that much money. This is a guy to take a flyer on. Like that makes much more sense to me than Vic Fangio saying, hey, Howie, go get me this guy. So was it a scenario where Howie in the front office had to say, hey, Vic, we know he's not your ideal guy, but come look at this. Like we feel like he, you know, are you sure he can't fit? And they kind of talk Fangio into it. Is that what happened here? Or was this a player that Fangio actually wants? I feel like we're going to have a strong answer to that by like week four or week five of the season. Is Devin White benched at that point for poor play? Or is it like, wow, he looks pretty good here. So that to me is very interesting. It's a pretty low risk move. If you want to talk yourself into it, it feels like a pretty low risk move. It's 1 year, again, $7.5 million. It's going to come in under that. So if you want to sell me on that, you can. At the same time, does it solve your problem? One of the biggest problems on the roster going into the offseason? The answer is no. I mean, listen, the likelihood of Devin White coming here and he's coming from Tampa, where he played for a guy in Todd Bowles, who knows how to coach defense, who knows how to use players. Like, if he was coming from somewhere else, I'm like, that, you know, that coach doesn't know it. Then I would be like, okay, now you're going from that coach to Fangio. Going from Bowles to Fangio makes me wonder, like, all right, is there really something there that they're going to be able to get out of him? I don't necessarily think so. So that's where I kind of stand on it. The Fangio-Roseman stuff is going to continue to be interesting to me. We might not get clear answers on it. Who's calling the shots? Is he an interesting player to Fangio? But we're going to get little breadcrumbs because Fangio is going to decide who's playing and who's not playing at the very least. So we'll find out some answers to that. What do you think about that?
No, so how does Roseman fit with Vic? I think that is fascinating. This to me is really square relative to some of the linebackers that Vic Fangio has had and played with and been successful with. Now, it's worth noting and acknowledging and just like making very clear, like Devin White brings a physical toolkit that not a lot of linebackers have, that like the linebackers that were in free agency this year, like the top guys, like, oh, Patrick Queen, like Patrick Queen's not big like Devin White's big. He doesn't have like the size, right? There's a physical toolkit here with Devin White that is unique. And so I can talk myself into some worlds where Howie said like, hey, Vic, like, you've like all the linebackers that you've worked with have had like, you know, big moments in their careers, right? You go to, you know, you're in San Francisco, it's Navarro Bowman, it's Patrick Willis. You go to Chicago, Roquan Smith is excellent. You go to Denver, Josie Jewell becomes like a good player. Like you can fix linebackers. You can get linebackers good. I want to give you this like really excellent ball of clay and I feel like you can make him great. And like, I can talk myself into a world where Vic Fangio talked himself into that, right? Like I can get there mentally in terms of the logic of it. Will we actually see it on the field? I'm very suspicious of that just because of who Devin White's been as a player, some of the mistakes that he's made over the course of his career, the way that he gets picked on in coverage. He got to play next to Lavonte David for a long time. Lavonte would help Devin White like know where he was going to go. You could see it happening on film. Like I have some suspicions there. Devin White will still be good for some splash plays. I think that like, unlike Nick Morrow, he was just like fine. Like he would get to where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there and tackle a running back for a 4-yard game. Like he would like check like the average boxes. And then anytime he was up against like an above average guard or an above average back or above average tight end, he would just lose. Like Devin White will have moments where like he tracks down a screen and he like shoots a gap and he beats a guard and he makes a big tackle and gets him off the field on third down. Like he's going to have splash plays. He's done that for his entire career. He's going to be sent on blitzes and be successful. So like there's going to be peak moments. There's also going to be games where he gets targeted 8 times. Right. And like, there's no relief coming because the Eagles have no other linebackers on the roster and they have no ability to kind of hide the guy. And so I can talk myself into the optimism that was necessary for them to have such that they made this acquisition. Overall, I'm quite pessimistic about like Devin White taking a big leap here in Philadelphia. And I think that like the 1-year deal, you know, they're kind of going to like give it a run and see. I don't know why, like for the 9th year in a row, they're doing this. Like, oh, we'll see what happens at linebacker. Maybe somebody will be good. But like, it's the way that they're approaching it. And it's the cross that I have to bear.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about Devin White, the player.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids' session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, we're back on the Ringers Philly special. I was messaging Solak with John Ledyard. Is he part of your, you know, Football Society crew? Okay, I wasn't sure. Ledyard, NFL draft. Whenever there's a bug, I like checking it. You know, some people, you feel like they have an expertise on certain teams, and he was on the Bucs for a long time down there in Tampa. So a couple of years ago, I remember I was asking about Jordan Whitehead, and he gave like a great response. So I'm like, what does he think about Devin White? And he gave me a very detailed response with what he thinks about Devin White. So he, I mean, it's very similar to what you mentioned there. And it's that, like, he was never at the level that his reputation was. So, you know, he had a good playoff run on their way to the Super Bowl. But other than that, he's been very inconsistent. Run defense, he was saying, lacks the instincts and the processing, not physical. So yes, you look at him and you go, oh, this looks like a guy, who can take people out. But that's not necessarily his style of play when he's going downhill. He sideline to sideline, he's very good. So that speaks to the splash plays you mentioned. If there's stuff to the perimeter, throws to the flat, screens, tosses, those things, and he doesn't have to, take on contact and get through somebody, he can get there in a hurry because this is an elite athlete. I mean, that's why he got picked number five. So those are some of the good things. He can make plays there. In coverage, I mean, I remember just prepping for, like, when the Eagles played them. It's like, this is a guy who can get picked on in coverage, who you can get his eyes in the wrong spot and take advantage of maybe some of those lack of instincts in coverage. So that's something else to keep an eye on. And then just the tackling numbers on him are not good. He's missed over 10% of his tackles every NFL season. A couple seasons, that was up around 14%, 15%. So I was just watching some of him this morning, and it's what you mentioned about Lavonte David. Like, you can watch five plays and you're going to see it. Lavonte David is pointing to him before and after the snap with, like, here's what's coming, here's what you do, like, kind of thing. And you don't, I mean, maybe N'Kobe Dean is supposed to be a very cerebral player. So maybe you get some of that. Lavonte David's been in the league for what, 13 years or something. So it's going to be very different. So it's like, when he knows where to go and can just kind of go and not think and just go get after it. What did Chip Kelly used to say about Kiko Alonso? See ball, get ball, something like that. Whatever. Oh,
we love a see ball, get ball. Absolutely. Yeah.
So when he can do that, like, there are going to be some impressive plays. Now, can you get that out of him consistently where the negative is not overtaking some of those positive? I'm with you. I'm pretty skeptical that you're going to be able to get that out of him. So that's just a little bit of a scouting report on Devin White. Is that pretty much sum up how you feel about him?
Yeah. I do want to make a point, like, the Lavonte David thing. There could be, like, Roquan Smith playing next to Lavonte David. You still like the communication. Like, it's not like it in and of itself is not an indictment on the other guy. It's when it's happening 4 years in a row that you're like, okay, we know something here, right? Like, and that's the thing, is we've seen Devin White start for a long time, right? And Devin White can kind of say whatever he wants to say about, like, the injury at the end of the season that kind of led to the December benching or whatever. I was there at Bucks Lions. They benched him for KJ Britt during that game. Like, they, in that game, they said, like, no, like, we need, like, against this team, like, we need KJ. We like KJ better. And KJ Britt had an excellent game. Like, they Devin White was the third best linebacker on the Buccaneers last year. Like, that, I'm pretty confident in that. And so I just, like, we can talk high ceiling, but he's been a starter in the league for four seasons. Like, There's some theory there as a new defensive coach, sure, but, like, I don't, like, the fit isn't even that good. So it's really hard to, like, get to the world where this is like, wow, what a find. Maybe he's fine and linebacker play is good enough behind great defensive tackles and, like, the usual plan, but it doesn't move my spirit, the Devin White signing. Not in a positive way, it doesn't.
It's certainly not the most likely scenario. I mean, the most likely scenario is that we're watching this team during the season and their linebackers are not good enough once again, and they're getting picked on. And maybe Vic Fangio has some frustration about the players who are on his roster, the guys he's working with. So we'll see how that goes. Listen, you mentioned Devin White has played a lot, and he's played for very good defenses for the most part. So there's at least that. Now, was he the reason that the defenses were very good? That's what we're talking about here. Probably not, among the top reasons there. But from 2020 to 2022, he had 392 tackles, tied for sixth in the NFL. Again, he's young, he's athletic, he's durable. You're taking a flyer on him. But at the same time, this is not somebody who you would say, yes, he fixes your problems at linebacker. So what is this it? Like, is it week one, Devin White and N'Kobe Dean? Do you expect them to do something else? Is there a chance training camp rolls around and Vic Fangio's like, no, we got to trade? It's hard to identify a trade candidate. Does somebody pop up after the draft? Maybe a team drafts a linebacker. I mean, it's not a great linebacker draft, but maybe a team drafts a linebacker and you say, oh, this player who we used to like, who might not get a lot of playing time, let's see if we can trade for them. What is your expectation? Is this all they're doing when we go into an offseason where N'Kobe Dean is coming off an injury and you're going with him and Devin White as your linebacker. Solak is closing his eyes. He's very
I can't bring my daughter into a world where the Eagles starting linebackers are Nakobe Dean and Devin White. There's no humanity left, man. Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, like I would say the most likely outcome is Devin White and Nakobe Dean. Zach Bond gave his introductory press conference. He was like, I've played edge, I've played linebacker, don't really know what my role is going to be here yet. It's going to be half, it's going to be hybrid, it's going to be some linebacker and some edge. It's the on-ball Sam, that's the job. So they go, yeah, Devin White, Mike, Nakobe Dean, Will. Excited to see what Nakobe does. Honestly, it should be Nakobe, Mike, Devin White, Will, but it won't be because the size discrepancy is insane. Like, you know, I still like, there's still stuff I like on Nakobe's film. It's just he can't stay healthy. And so Devin White and Nakobe in week one is going to be Devin White and Ben Van Sumeren by week five. And so here we go. I like watching good linebackers. Good linebackers are fun players to watch. I want to watch one.
So the moves on defense so far are what? Bryce Huff, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and Devin White. I don't know. We'll see. The Fangio piece of this is just so interesting to me. I mean, it has not read like a Fangio has control of the defense and he's going to pick all the players type offseason. But again, I could be totally wrong about that. Maybe reporting will come out. Maybe Fangio is generally not shy about saying what he thinks and how he feels about players or process or whatever. When you remember last offseason, he was asked, would you have been the Eagles defensive coordinator if Jonathan Gannon was more transparent? And he was like, some could say that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to say that wasn't. Yeah, that could be said. So we shall see. All right. Still no Hassan Reddick trade. Still no Josh Sweat trade. We'll see what happens there. Anything else, Solak, you need to get off your chest before you go about your Friday?
No, please. There are no other linebackers available. Don't even sign anybody else. Don't make me go through this again.
Yeah, I mean, right now, there's not a lot of players available. Now, you could look at it and say, hey, they should have gone after someone like Jordan Brooks earlier in the offseason. He did not get a monster deal. He got $8.75 million per year. So if you feel like he's like a starting caliber three-down linebacker, that could be an investment that you certainly could have made. That's the guy I'll circle when we look back at this offseason and say, hey, does he play well? Is he someone they could have gone after? Because he's someone I liked for them quite a bit going into the offseason, but they did not go in that direction. All right. Just a quick one. A little quick Philly special. Some Devin White thoughts. If something else happens, you know. We will be back. Thank you to Ben Solak. Thank you to Stefan Anderson. I mean, just filling in. I don't want to go like, you know, Nick Foles, because that would be disrespectful to Cliff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Cliff's at a wedding, and so we needed someone in a pinch, and the man just always comes through.
They're Stefan calling Anderson. Steph Jalen Hurts, and they're calling Cliff Carson Wentz. That's what the streets are saying. All right, well, not me. Gosh. That's what they're saying.
That's going to get back to Cliff, and he's not going to be happy at all about that. All right, everyone, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon on the Ringers Philly Special. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.